Nathan Sim waiting on his left hand side. Courtney Perkins driving in. Central to find Mills! Oh, that is outstanding! Top left corner, George Mills! Something out of nothing! Unbelievable strike from George Mills!
Welcome to a very special edition of the Pitch to Park podcast. I am joined by my former podcast co-host. I think we did a podcast like 3.5 years ago for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. That was a lot of fun. He, former journalist, now heavily involved in the community club ownership realm, I suppose, an advocate for that. His name is Nicholas Rapolo. He's got an Apia Leichhardt Community Forum coming up on the 13th of March. And we're very privileged to have him on this evening. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Before we do that, we've got a very special partnership to announce. Humble Clothing, in collaboration with Maradona Global, is bringing to football fans an exclusive, limited and numbered edition 30th anniversary t-shirt drop to commemorate and pay homage to a truly unique moment of Australian and global footballing history. The 2 weeks in 1993 that the greatest 20th century footballer came out of retirement to play in Australia. And now, limited edition is limited edition, and certainly, this is as limited as you can get. The 30th anniversary Diego Maradona x Humble t-shirt drop will truly be a limited edition drop. Strictly limited edition, with each t-shirt accompanied by an individually numbered certificate of authenticity. And you won't find another Maradona shirt like this anywhere in the world. And this is what's really important. In keeping with the Diego Maradona legacy, Humble Clothing will be donating a percentage of sales from each t-shirt sold to Australian football charities, a donation in Diego's name and to his legacy, in keeping with the charitable work that underpinned Diego's life and Humble Clothing, which is very humbled to play a part in continuing Diego's legacy through this 30th anniversary commemorative drop. For our listeners, we have an exclusive offer for you. PTP20 gives you 20% off. Do not miss out on this exclusive offer from the Pitch to Pie podcast. And back to the podcast that you're listening to right now. It will be a good one. Thank you very much. Nick, let's talk football. Let's talk National Second Division, RPL Leichhardt. What's happening here? A lot of potential here with the football club, historic club, especially within the NPL era. I've been an incredibly successful footballing entity, having won the NPL last season. They've obviously got huge ambitions for the second tier, playing out of Leichhardt Oval, but there's a lot to be done behind the scenes, and that's largely why we have you on today.
A lot to be done behind the scenes, but as you mentioned, so much potential and so much to be excited about, I think. And I think that's true for all the clubs that have been introduced into the inaugural season for the second division. From my perspective, you know, I'm a born and bred inner Westie from, you know, Sydney. I haven't really been an RPL Leichhardt fan my whole life. It's been quite difficult given the fact that they've been pretty much semi-professional from the day that I was born. But I have family lineage involved with this club that, you know, my grandfather, who came to Australia from Italy in his early 20s, was a massive supporter of the club. Obviously, the club has that Italian heritage that's still strong today. And he was part of that first wave of post-war migrants that came. He lived out in Western Sydney, but I heard my entire life about the trek to Lambert Park on, you know, 3 p.m. on Sundays and what that meant. And I always longed for that feeling. So when the announcement came in November that Apia would be part of the National Second Division, it was so exciting. And it was I saw it as an opportunity to continue that tradition, you know, continue that family tradition. And I know in the local area that I'm not the only one that sees it that way. It really is a sentimental moment. The reason why we're doing this community forum, as you mentioned, which is on March 13 at Club Ashfield. If anybody here is an inner Westie or beyond, you're more than welcome to come. It's run by myself and my two brothers. It's run independently of RPL Leichhardt, the club. And the point of it is to raise awareness, to engage the community of our region, to, you know, gauge their interests and ideas in RPL, being on the national stage for the first time in over 30 years. It's an extraordinary moment for our community, but for every community that's involved in the National Second Division. Our region's not small. The population of the inner west of Sydney is more than 350,000 people, which is pretty similar to the Central Coast. And it's an area that has been, since the A-League began, pretty much unloved. It's diverse in terms of its culture, its heritage, in terms of socioeconomic backgrounds. But most importantly, it's pretty diverse in terms of people's love and interest in football, stretching back generations, like I mentioned. So myself and my two brothers, we want to harness all of that goodwill and all that interest and all that knowledge to get the community behind this team, but also to understand, like you mentioned, that the community has a role to play in its success, and that there are a lot of challenges that come with going from that essentially community-based club operating at a level that's at NPL level and a community level, to then becoming a national team. Not every area of Australia or subset, sub-region, suburbs get the opportunity to be on that kind of stage. Apia was given an opportunity in the 70s, 80s and 90s. They've been given one again. And it's an incredibly optimistic time, but like you mentioned, it presents a lot of challenges, but I'm sure the community of the Inner West and the club themselves will rise to it.
And I guess sort of this community forum, obviously it's going to be held at Club Ashfield, as you mentioned, and obviously that being in the heart of Apia's catchment area. I guess, where do you feel the club at the moment sits? On the park, they're incredibly successful. They've obviously had a great few seasons, both within the NPL New South Wales and also in the Australia Cup, formerly FFA Cup. Mm-hmm. I guess, on field aside, the club has got a lot of work to do. Obviously, Lambert Park is their current home facility. I believe they're playing some matches at Leichhardt Oval this year, if I'm not mistaken. I'm very Victorian biased, but there is obviously a lot of work for any club to make that step up. What challenges do you think Apia as a football club currently possess, I guess in comparison to your other New South Wales-based national second-tier clubs?
So I guess for the Sydney context and for the New South Wales context, those clubs that are in the second division are actually quite, they straddle each other. They're actually quite close. So the catchment of Sydney Olympic is very close to Apia, and Sydney Olympic is very close to Marconi Stallions. That belt along Western Sydney down into the southwest and the inner west is going to be basically just the second division belt in Sydney, and all that presents a lot of excitement and a lot of opportunities for Apia in particular. And I think that this goes across all of the clubs in general. We have this conversation about what do these clubs do in the modern era. What is their heritage and culture and identity? And is that suitable for the modern era? And obviously, when we're talking about that, unfortunately, people use terms like ethnic-based clubs or, you know, cultural or nationality-based clubs. Can they be mainstream? Well, I had it put to me one time that Apia Leichhardt, sure, it's an Italian club, but are you telling me that Italians aren't mainstream in Australia? Are you telling me that Greeks aren't mainstream in Australia? What I think Apia can do and what a lot of the clubs can do is identify that they are there to celebrate their culture, their heritage going back generations, but that they also need to reflect the community that they sit in today. So from Apia's point of view, I mentioned before about the history and the heritage, my grandfather, and I've actually frequently been thinking about that old NAB ad that aired during A-League matches where Simon Hill, I think it was Simon Hill, made a comment in that ad that says, "You'll be told which club to support by your grandparents." That's a special line because it's true. And for a lot of these second division clubs, that's being fulfilled. That's becoming true. With Apia back in the national stage, it's an opportunity to reignite that tradition. But with all these clubs, it's an opportunity to reach out to their new generation of football fans. You know, the last time Apia was in a national competition, the inner west of Sydney was a very different place. It was dominated largely by Italians in the 60s and 70s. Suburbs like Balmain were the heart of working-class Sydney. Today, its cultural backgrounds have shifted away from Europe to Asia, but still with a large Italian influence. The area has become rather gentrified. There are parts of the inner west that are hugely affluent today, unlike what they were back in the day. But there are still pockets of disadvantage that exist in the inner west. And of course, it's still today the progressive heart of Sydney. You know, the catchment for the inner west straddles the electorate of the Prime Minister, Grainler, in areas like, you know, Marrickville, Newtown, and of course, Leichhardt. The reason why it's important to have a community forum like we're doing is because this is the inner west of 2025. When the league starts next year, this community forum is important because this is the community that RPL Leichhardt has to reflect. Because, like I like to say, a football club has to serve the community, not the other way around. And RPL Leichhardt already do a great job of that. But on the national stage, it just means that the club and the community have to take on a different set of challenges. Now, in order to overcome some of those challenges, I think it's necessary, this is why myself and my brothers have taken this step, that the community has to form some kind of action. You don't get brought into the decision-making table by expecting the clubs to come to you. RPL have been very accommodating for the interests of the community, but for all the clubs in the second division, I would encourage all of them to make your voices heard, to really get your ideas together, to combine all of the history and the knowledge of your local area and all the people in it, to make your clubs as reflective of your community as possible. Because only if you have a football club that truly reflects you, that truly something that you can truly identify with, only then will you get that long-term sustainability for a football club. We talk a lot about financial sustainability, but then there's social and cultural sustainability, and I feel like that gets lost in the picture. That's just as important.
I couldn't agree more with you, and I think from taking a Victorian angle, you know, I'm from a community where in Melbourne, we don't actually have a football club that represents us. That's, I guess, at a higher level. We had Melbourne Hakoa, but that's actually South Melbourne now. South Melbourne are now the, you know, the football club that dominates my catchment area and sort of that southern eastern area. I guess for me, it's very interesting to from an outsider's perspective, examine these communities. What makes these clubs so special is, for me, walking into these communities, I still feel welcome, even though I'm technically, you know, not of that ilk. I don't have grandparents that supported South Melbourne or Oakley or Preston or whatever club you may think of. For me, it's a perspective of the maintenance of these cultures, of not over just a 10-year period, 20-year period like the A-League. It's over 40, 50 years. And as you mentioned, the football club you all support is the club that your grandpa supported. And that's what we're bearing witness to now in the NPL Victoria or NPL New South Wales or whatever it may be. And I think RPL have an incredibly unique and interesting angle to take on that. And it's not just the working class that RPL have, it's that lineage through history and through success as well. And they have to represent an embodiment of not just, you know, cultural significance on a nationalistic stage, but also maintain that influence for not just the football club entire, but the area of the inner west, which I think is a very unique value proposition for anyone involved in that region, whether you are Italian or not.
One thing RPL does really well is that real commitment to excellence, I think, and you see it not only on the field, but if you talk to people about RPL Leichhardt, everybody knows what they are. Everybody knows who they are. When I've been pounding the pavement, essentially trying to, you know, drum up a bit of support for this community forum that I'm doing, I ask people two questions. I say, do you know who RPL Leichhardt is? And basically all of them say yes. And then I say, do you know that they're entering the National Second Division? And basically all of them say no. So there's a little bit of a divide there. Everybody knows about this club. When a club's there for 70 years, when it has that longevity, It's a cultural institution in an area, and it becomes part of a community. You mentioned before these words, maintenance of culture. That's a very good way of putting it, because over 70 years, this institution hasn't died off. It hasn't been part of the big time on the national stage, and then when it wasn't, all of a sudden fade into obscurity. That's what these former NSL clubs have been able to get right. They've been able to embed themselves in their community, and they've been able to achieve long-term sustainability. That's something that A-League clubs, in comparison, really lack. They lack that connection to community. They lack that connection to ideals and connection to people through those ideals, which is something that other clubs, former NSL clubs, have been able to achieve. Now, whether they're able to continue that and contribute that level of effort on a national scale is yet to be seen, which is why community forums like the one we're doing, and hopefully ones that are being done similarly in other parts of the country, hopefully through these forums that we get that strength through community to continue that particular success at a national scale.
And I guess sort of the elevation of the football club on a national scale will come with added interest in terms of sponsorship revenue, just general crowd interest. But the quantifiability of that is not just through the numbers itself. I think it's through the global impact that they have. Well, not say global impact, but the national impact that they have on the field, and also what other clubs, you know, perceive them to be. And I think Preston Lions are a great example in Victoria. They set the benchmark in every single facet, maybe bar the footballing one specifically, because they're an NPL too, but they set the bar and they set the standard in terms of the way that their boardroom structure works, the way that their marketing and sort of orientation works in that sense. Look at their kit launch. Look at where it was done. Look at the Macedonian iconography that was in, you know, that video. That is what the club represents. That is their identity. And they get 2,000, 3,000 people to show up to an NPL 2 Victoria match. That's just insane. But the Preston have done that. And I think it's up to a lot of other clubs to use that as an example, but morph that in a way that suits them. And I guess my question to you is, Nick, the national stage is a big, you know, carrot for many clubs that are entering the national second division. Clubs will have to prepare in their own ways to get to that point. What do you believe Apia should specifically try and do to do that? And how will this community forum hopefully provide the club with some ideas as to how they should progress forward in the next 6 months or so?
So I think one thing that Apia can do, and to their credit, they have voiced their desire to do this, is that they want to provide the community with an ownership stake in the club. Now, this is a very encouraging thing for the club to do. It's not something that I think has been done anywhere else in the sport, definitely at a semi-professional or professional level, I believe. I obviously stand to be corrected on that, but I don't think it's been done anywhere else. What this community forum would want to do is to really get people together from the community to communicate to the club. And from this forum, we will communicate their ideas and their feelings to the club directly. How do they want to be represented? How do they want to be engaged by the club? When it comes to community ownership, what does that model look like? Does the club provide, the club I've mentioned before, the same model as Bayern Munich and AFC Wimbledon? That sounds very promising. That is a model whereby the fans have a supporters trust, and the supporters trust owns 75% of that football club. I think that from our community forum, these ideas, these progressive ideas about how to maintain sustainability over a long period of time and do that by entrenching the community and our identity in that is very, very important. It's something that this community forum and others alike would seek to do, is communicate that to the club to say, this is what the community is looking for. The community wants to see progress on this. Let's talk about it. Let's get in the same room. Let's start a dialogue, and let's run this club in a way that the community sees that they can get real value out of it. I've mentioned obviously community ownership being important. There are three reasons why community ownership is really important. Number one, it's because really the law of society is that if you engage and bring to the decision-making table the people who are affected by decisions, you generally get better outcomes. Who do we want politicians engaging with to find a solution to the housing crisis? We want them getting solutions from millennials and Gen Z who are shut out because they're most affected by it. You get better outcomes if you speak to the right people. For the long-term viability, secondly, of our professional clubs and our leagues, fans having an ownership stake in the clubs presents more options in terms of being sustainable financially as well. If you have fans at the heart of decision-making, then they understand what makes their community and their fan base tick better than anyone else, and you can gear decision-making in those interests. And lastly, it boosts the strength and integrity of football clubs and the league as a whole. With fans having ownership of clubs, they can hold people accountable, not just be listened to and then ignored to, then ignored like has been done for the last decade or so in the A-League, for example. If you're in the room, you have decision-making power, you get real lasting change. And that's the kind of sentiment that I think the community of the Inner West is interested in, that sense of fairness, that sense of being part of decision-making, having agency when it comes to a football club that really represents the community. I think that that's the real focus of this particular forum, that we're looking for RPL Leichhardt in particular to do everything in their power to bring the community along on this journey, this national journey.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good summation of what the forum could represent. And I guess sort of what should people expect from attending this forum on the 13th of March?
Absolutely. I think it's a tremendous opportunity. Everybody wants an opportunity to have their voice be heard. If there's one thing that people in soccer crave at A-League level or any other level, it's their ideas being listened to and their ideas being taken seriously. And I think that this forum is a way, in a way that's not been done much at MPL level, is able to be achieved.
Yeah, we hope so. And I guess sort of, after this forum is completed, sort of where do we go? Where does the club go next in terms of the ideas that are suggested from everyone that attends the forum? Can we how does this get to the RPL boardroom is what I'm saying.
So the community that attends the forum, obviously it's being run independently from the club. So myself and my brothers, we are running this independently. We don't work for the club. We're not employed by them. And everybody's ideas and the direction that they would like to see will be noted and will be communicated to the club at an official level. So from this forum, we will communicate the ideas of the community directly to them in the hope of being able to start a dialogue. And I would hope that in terms of representing the interests of the community, that the club would engage, fruitfully. I think that they will, with myself and with others who would want to engage about the ideas, because we're all excited, we're all energized, we're ready to give our ideas and our passion to this project, and we're excited about the fact that we get to contribute to a national journey like this in our own community. So from this forum, their ideas will be communicated to the club directly.
That's brilliant. And I guess sort of a bit of feedback there. From your perspective, Nick, looking at, I guess, other clubs that are involved with the national second tier, I guess maybe from a Melbourne perspective, it's good to get an outsider's perspective. I think within Victoria, that's basically where all our guests have come from, including Ange Postecoglou, actually. I guess we are quite insular in our perception of the MPL, and I think we definitely see us as the biggest and best MPL in the country, which we are. But I think that's often our downfall as well. What do you think are some things in Victoria that I guess could be fixed in terms of maybe the way that the league's perceived or the clubs? I'm not sure how much of a lens you have across the likes of South Melbourne, Preston and Avondale, but I guess how do you see that? And do you see any of those clubs potentially, you know, maybe having something similar like this, you know, a community forum per se, maybe for someone like, you know, South Melbourne, maybe for someone like Avondale. I think Preston have got things quite sorted at the moment, but I just wanted to hear your perspective.
Every club in the National Second Division can have a forum like this, and I think every club in the National Second Division should have a forum like this. When you have the community joining in the decision-making about their local community club, you're going to get better outcomes. I think everybody that's involved or wants to be involved in supporting a club in the National Second Division, whether they're in Sydney or Melbourne or Wollongong or wherever, if there are other teams that join, should seek the support of their community, should seek the ideas of their community, and should be in constant dialogue with their club about it, and should attempt to speak to them about having an ownership stake in the club themselves. I don't have the biggest scope about what's going on in Melbourne or MPL Victoria, but I think that we can look at this blueprint for what's happening with our forum at Apia and take that onto a national scale. Because in general, I think that we have seen at an A-League level, the administration geared way too far towards private interests and private business. And I think that we need to start gearing the conversation about the future of soccer more in relation to the interests of the community. And I think when it comes to Victoria, these are clubs that have a lot of history, that are very proud of their history, their culture, their heritage, whether it's particular nationalities or socioeconomic circumstances, if it's religion or whatever it is. All of these clubs have a duty to be able to continue that cultural heritage, continue with the expression of their history, no matter what it is, but also a commitment to connecting with their community as it is today. It's no use being a National Second Division team and simply focusing on, you know, we used to be in the big time, we're in the big time again, flick the jukebox on, let's all have a party, and, you know, it's the glory, you know, glory days are here again. It's not about that. It's about you are a club in the National Second Division, a national team, in 2025. Not 1985, not 1975. Your community today has to be reflected, and that club has to serve that community. So that would be my main, I'd pose the main challenge to Victorian teams and to teams based in Melbourne, that the journey that we're going on in Sydney is the same, is that across the whole country, any team that's been in the NSL is going through this period of change because they're going onto the national stage again. I think if we keep that you celebrate your culture and heritage while committing yourself to reflecting your community of today is the recipe for success in the National Second Team.
You couldn't have put it any better than anyone else that I know, Nick, and I really, really appreciate your insights. I guess while we have you here, I think it's important that we do discuss recent developments in the National Second Tier. It's always good to check in on that as our other co-host is at training. We have the next best thing in Nick Rapolo to provide his insights. Football Tasmania have released a statement in relation to the proposed Team Tasmania bid, which is interesting to say the least. For some background, this Team Tasmania bid, which was coordinated in tandem with South Hobart FC, requested $10.5 million from the Tasmanian state government over the course of 5 years. Football Tasmania have stated that they're not going to support the bid. Their focus is on maintaining an A-League license ambition in the future. They're pretty much just going to try and work on building their own facilities there as well. They're currently headed up by Tony Pinata, formerly of Sydney FC and Perth Glory, in CEO roles. This has been met with much anger in the football community, not just from A-League fans, but MPL fans, rarely do you get a united front on things like this, but it is to be expected. My perspective, at least, is that you cannot run before you walk. You need to see what type of support you get at a national level, but not quite at the A-League before you get to that point. You need to ensure sustainable processes before you get to that position where your budgets might be blown completely out of the water by the pressures of a national top-tier competition for what the A-League will be. Nick, what is your perspective?
I thought the statement by Football Tasmania that they wouldn't publicly support a bid wasn't really based on economics. It wasn't based on relationship with government. It wasn't based on the best interests of the sport, really. I think it was based on ideology. You know, need I say more? This is what you get when you silo the game into factions, when your game structure actually entrenches personal invested interests. And you mentioned it's very difficult to unite football fans on anything, but I think the terrible governance structure of our game unites pretty much everybody except for the people that sit on the boards of those state federations. This isn't a state body acting in the interest of the sport, full stop. Why would a state body so publicly denounce a bid for one of their own clubs to enter a national competition? They've essentially rejected organic, grassroots, community-based growth for a pay-to-play license, which will probably end up being bankrolled by some foreign corporation or private equity firm or whatever it is. This is what happens when you neglect reform of our structures in Australian soccer. And I mentioned this in a speech I did, a speech I gave at the Football Writers Festival last year. And it's been said many times, when you have one national body, nine state bodies and 10 different chairs and CEOs and 10 grand strategies about what success looks like, from a governance perspective, it's unsustainable. And it is the hallmark of a sport that's not in control of its own agenda, whether it comes to the A-League, second division, grassroots, men or women. It simply isn't in control.
Clubs are not simply involved in the A-League for financial motivation. A lot of it's legacy projects from Australian owners. Foreign ownership might be a bit of a different question. There's definitely a lot of ethical questions that have to be brought up about that. But national second tier clubs, as far as I'm aware, all of them are owned by Australian owners, but at least majority Australian owned. Ross Peligra, the owner of the Perth Glory, invests in South Melbourne as a principal partner at Peligra Group. So dare I say that NPL clubs have that community feel to it, and the vibrancy around these clubs exists paramount because people that back the club are the supporters. That's putting it simply. And a Tasmanian bid, I would personally welcome because that is the embodiment of a national united front where I'm not sure if South Hobart have a unique sort of, dare I say, nationalistic foundation based upon their, the heritage of the football club. But why you would immediately reject the opportunity to go into a national competition, which will have lower savings costs and can probably attract the same amount of commercial revenue and probably the same amount of government funding, where the AFL team is struggling to get up there in the first place, really boggles my mind. I hope this is revisited. I don't think it will be revisited. I think it's already been I wouldn't say pushed down by both sides of government, but I think it's a ship that sailed, and it's a really unfortunate circumstance that we are in this situation. But it is what it is. We'll do.
But look, when it comes to that team, look, I don't know an awful lot about the South Hobart beard, I'm going to be honest with you. But if Football Tasmania thought that this was going to be a very popular idea, a very popular statement, then they wouldn't have released it at 5 p.m. on a Friday. In the communications world, we call that taking out the trash.
I was going to say that.
so if we're sitting here talking about structural reform of the game, the fact that we haven't addressed structural reform in our game and we have these silos manifests in decisions like this. And don't take my word for it. I want to share something with you. We're sitting here in Sydney, it's a balmy night, in 2024, talking about state feds and the structural reform that needs to happen. I want to read you quotes from a man named George Negus, very famous media personality and a former board member of Soccer Australia. This was an article written in 2002. He took aim at the South Australian Federation. And in the article it says, Negus says, soccer's deep problems in Australia stem from the way its management structure had evolved, with too much power in the hands of state federations. He said the board needed to be scrapped, as did the state federations. He said it's not much use sacking one or two people. That's shifting the deck chairs on the Titanic. They need to build a whole new ship. Neil, when that was written, I was in nappies. right?
Was I born? Let's have a look.
Were you born?
what was the born?
July 2002.
I was 5 months old. Yeah.
You were in nappies, mate. You were in nappies. That article was written when you and I hadn't even gained consciousness yet. And we're sitting here in 2024 talking about the exact same things. Now, I don't want to crow on about these problems all the time. I'm surprised that there are still people involved in this sport who have the same amount of passion as you and I do when we're talking about the same thing for 25 years, practically a generation. But this is one of those things that makes me concerned about the future of the A-League, Second Division, our grassroots, is that we will never truly flourish until we address this. The reform of our governance structure holds us back. And until we have Football Australia, a regime or a group of executives that are willing to take this on, and it will leave scars and it might ruin some careers, but this is the price of reform. This is the price of fixing the sport. And until we address it, unfortunately, we're going to stay in these silos and we're going to hold ourselves back.
Couldn't agree more, and I think that's a really good point to sort of, you know, finish on. Nick, thank you so much for your time. We'll do another quick plug for the RPL Leichhardt Community Forum, which is happening next week, 13th of March at Club Ashfield, 7 p.m., I believe, the start time. Get yourself down there. It's going to be a great evening. Nick will obviously be chairing it with his brothers, I believe. So say hi if you do see him. Make sure that you say, you know, the Pitch to Park podcast brought me here. It should be a really good evening and a really insightful evening, and which I think you can make your voice heard. And that's very rare in Australian football to make your voice heard in person and in-person situations. Nick has taken it upon himself to dedicate his own time to try and rebuild this football club and reestablish the national identity of this football club, the potential national identity of this football club. So, you know, do yourself a favor, get yourself down there. Even if you don't support RPL Leichhardt, even if you're a fan of football in general, I think it will be a very insightful evening to hear what other football fans who might not necessarily be within our circles think of the football club and, I guess, the National Second Division more broadly. Thank you so much, Nick, for your time. And, yeah, we'll definitely get you on again to talk about RPL Leichhardt when hopefully they enter the National Second Tier in March or April of 2025.
Thanks so much, Neil.
No worries. Awesome. We'll be back with another podcast next week. Guest pending. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much.